third chapter of Joshua. Third chapter of Joshua. I'm going to read beginning with verse number 1. This morning, talking about spiritual opportunities. Spiritual opportunities. Joshua chapter 3, verse number 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by the measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hivites, the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which come down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far above the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want to just take a few minutes this morning and talk to you about spiritual opportunities. And that's a broad topic and a broad title, I understand. But you've heard little quotes before that you can identify. One is that opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so many people don't recognize them. Sometimes I've heard people use the phrase, opportunity comes disguised in work clothes. Another quote is, opportunity often comes disguised in the form of misfortune or even temporary defeats. I think that as believers, the Lord can help us in these times to see opportunities that nobody else sees. That we can see that God wants to work even in impossible situations. Even when it looks like impossible is written all over it, you will still be able to see that God can work. And you're not going to be able to see this except through the eyes of faith, except by a spiritual vision, a spiritual insight, can you see that God can work in all kinds of needs, all kinds of situations. Now, this little account is likely not true, because I know you can't believe everything that you read, but I'm going to go ahead and go through this just for sake of illustrating what I want to talk about here this morning. Sometime back in American history, they say that there was this problem with wild wolves, and so they put a bounty on every wolf that you could capture alive. I don't know why alive, but capture alive for $5,000. So two old guys by the name of Sam and Jed, they sound like they need to be out there chasing wolves. Sam and Jed decided that they were going to make their fortune. So day and night, they scoured all throughout the mountains and all the forest looking for these wolves. And one night they become so exhausted in their hunt that they decided to sleep a while. And while they're sleeping, after they have slept a while, Sam woke up and he sees that they are surrounded by wolves showing their teeth. And he turns to his buddy, Jed, and says, "Jed, wake up. We're rich." I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know this. I do know that you can see a situation, even a bad situation, and by the grace of God, you are able to see that there are possibilities. And as you look down through the history, not only the history of the church, but biblical history, you're going to see that God loves and He delights in showing up in times when it's dark, when it's troubled, when there's great need, and He provides opportunities in the midst of great trouble. And it may be that some of you here this morning, you're up against big problems and big troubling situations, and it doesn't look like an opportunity, certainly not a spiritual opportunity, but I want you to know that God disguises spiritual opportunities with big problems and big obstacles, big enemies, great opposition. God shows up with spiritual opportunities in times like that. Amen? Praise the Lord. For us to talk about revival, to talk about a revival that's in our church is a wonderful thing, and we've talked a lot about that in the last weeks and experienced what I would call pretty much just a church revival. There were visitors, but I really felt like what God was doing among us this week was just primarily among those of us that are a part of this local church, and God spoke to us and challenged us and blessed us around the altars, and it was all good, it was all wonderful, and I'm so grateful for what the Lord has accomplished. But here's the reality, is that when the revival closed, we have to go back to the world we live in. We have to go back and face our day-to-day experiences, our day-to-day challenges. And some of you are up against a lot of big problems and some great challenging circumstances. And as Christians, as the church, we understand that we really do live in a world that's hostile toward God and toward the things of God. It didn't used to be that way in America, but now we are very quickly moving to a time in the United States of America that just to simply stand up for Jesus Christ, just to be a person that stands up for the Bible, you sometimes put yourself in a very vulnerable place. I think that it's true sometimes, spiritually speaking, we could kind of feel like Sam and Jed, like we're surrounded with lots of obstacles and lots of enemies, and we don't really see the possibility. We don't see the opportunity. We don't see that God many times sets it up. It's a setup by God for us to experience some great and wonderful things if we'll only open our eyes to see it. This is a culture now that's anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-spiritual things, anti-Jesus. It's a generation now that's not like it was when I was just a kid, not that many years ago.
When you prayed before you started your classes in a public school, you pledged allegiance to the flag. There was opportunities for preachers to come in and to speak in school assemblies, and different evangelistic groups would come in and hold evangelistic services. I'm talking about when I was in public school. It was a time when there was this openness and a love for the gospel, a love for the things of God. We don't live in that world anymore. We don't live in that country anymore. We do live in a time right now that's pretty much hostile toward the things of the Lord. And so I guess what we could do is kind of cower down. We could say, well, how can we really have any impact upon our world? Do you understand that this is a setup by God? That God has set up the whole circumstance of the situation that we're in so that we can shine as bright lights in a very dark world. One of the reasons why we are to experience revival is not so we can just have this wonderful time inside of this building. We are able to experience revival because we need to be empowered. We need to be anointed. We need to have direction from God so that we can step from this place and go out and confront a world that doesn't love the Lord. That's not interested in the things of God. Isaiah 59, verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. Isaiah is talking about his generation, but really it's prophetic looking to this generation. Judgment's turned away backward. Everything is turned around, opposite of what it should be, saying. And justice standeth afar off. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. What is he saying? He's saying everything has been turned around in our world. It's so turned around now that the person that decides, I want to live for Jesus. I don't want to live like the common person anymore in this world. I want to live for the Lord. I want to serve God. I want to be a testimony of the grace of God everywhere that I go. But the Bible says, he that departs from evil, Isaiah is prophesying about a time when those who would depart from evil make themselves a prey. They are put under a circumstance that they become an enemy in our world that we're in. We're surrounded, I guess we could say, by enemies, by wolves that are not interested in spiritual things in this generation. Now we need to understand that our eyes need to be opened. We could cower down, we could hide, we could say, let's just stay in the church and let's be in this place and let's live for the Lord and enjoy the presence of the Lord, and we could find all the joy that we can find just from being together. But in reality, we were not called for that. We were not called for that at all. We have a God-given calling to have an impact upon our generation, an impact upon our community and upon our city and upon this region. We have a God. And so really the extent of revival that you have experienced can really be measured not only by what has happened in the altar, but really it will be measured by the fact that you walk out of this door and you begin to have an impact upon people around us in this world. That's the real measure, and it's the real spiritual opportunity. You say, yeah, but we've never seen times like this. If you do much study or reading about past revivals, past moves of God, God has moved in these great historical revivals in dark and difficult times. The Wesley brothers stepped on the scene in England, and it was a dark time, and there was revolution going on and a turning away from everything good and moral. The streets were filled with children who had no parents who cared about them, and a guy by the name of Robert Raikes stepped on the scene and began to have Sunday school for children, and that's where Sunday school was born. It was born out of derelict, homeless, hopeless little children that roamed the streets of London and other cities. And he began to hold Sunday schools. And he taught them, reading and writing and arithmetic. But most important, he taught them the Word of God. He taught them the gospel of Jesus Christ. That movement exploded all over England. It came all the way to the United States. And there were circuit riding preachers who traveled all over our nation, preaching the gospel and setting up these Sunday schools. And many churches that were born in the early days of this nation were born, first of all, as Sunday schools to reach children and families. And it all came out of dark times. It all came out of hopeless situations. It all came in a time when people had no hope, but someone caught a vision. They heard from God, and they didn't see it as our spiritual hopelessness or our spiritual death, but they saw it as a spiritual opportunity. So we need to see the times that we're living in right now that are so dark and negative and so opposed to the things of God. We do not need to curse the darkness. We need to turn the light on. We need to get out there. We need to expose them to the gospel. We need to live a holy life before them. We need to represent Jesus Christ to a world that really is in great need. And then we will realize the real spiritual opportunities that God has given to us. When Jesus stepped on the scene and said that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, it was in a time when Jesus died, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, he wept over Jerusalem for their unbelief. Whenever Jesus, even in his earthly ministry, for the most part, at the beginning of it, he was accepted. But the latter part of his ministry, he was rejected again and again and again. They would run him out of cities. They attempted to stone him. They rejected him again and again. The crowd got smaller and smaller. It became darker and darker until he was crucified. It was a dark, dark time when Jesus was crucified. But could I remind you today, it was really just a setup. Because his death was going to result in his resurrection. And his resurrection was going to be that life-giving force, that life-giving power that was going to change a bunch of shy, bashful disciples who were hiding away for fear. It was going to so turn them around that they were going to go out and they were literally going to turn their world upside down. And that's exactly what God is calling us to. He wants us to see. And you know, it does no good to talk negatively. It does no good to look at it all and say it's hopeless and this world's hopeless and people are so bound in their sin. Let me tell you, when there's a move of God, when there's a real revival, there is an opportunity and there's nothing that God can't do. There is nothing that God cannot do. There's no person that cannot be reached. There's no community that's so hardened and so resistant to the gospel that God, by His Spirit, cannot break through in that situation and bring revival. Praise God. Hallelujah. I remember not that many years ago, whenever some of those nations of the world that were so... they were Islamic and they were they hated Christianity. And they were murdering Christians. And I know it's still going on in other nations, but I was just thinking earlier about Indonesia. That was one of the most rabid Islamic nations in the world at that time. And that Christians could not coexist. They could not live there. It had become so severe in their hatred toward the church and toward Christians that they were abusing, they were murdering, they were destroying the church. And missionaries had to leave Indonesia, and we supported some that were there. They literally had to leave because of the great persecution against the church. And then suddenly there was a tsunami. You know what happened? A tsunami like no one had ever, matter of fact, a lot of people had never even heard of tsunami before. They didn't even know what it was. But the waves that were so large that came sweeping in to Indonesia. And as a result, not just a few, thousands upon thousands of people died. Whole cities were literally covered up with water and great masses of people. And suddenly all their power was gone and everything that they were in need of, their food supplies were cut off, and it was desperation. Thousands of people were dying in that situation. Then nations of the world began to pour in there. When they wouldn't have been open to ministry groups coming in here, a lot of World Vision people and a lot of other Christian organizations begin to come in there and to feed the people and to send in workers to help them and medical people to help them. And there was this landslide of help and love that poured in to Indonesia as a result of that. The door was absolutely slammed shut. And it was a tragedy, the horribleness of that tsunami in Indonesia. But anyone who knows and reads anything about missions, they know that now that the door in Indonesia has changed. And there are churches. Yes, there's still this strong presence of Islam. But there are churches there now. There are people. There's a revival there. There is the move of God there. God can blow a door open when the door is closed tight. God can move in impossible situations if we could see the spiritual opportunity. And what I see right now in the United States of America, it's pretty much a time of, I'm grieved by much of it. I'm grieved by what's happening in our world, politically, spiritually, morally, almost in every way. It's troubling and just a difficult time right now in the United States of America. Everyone that you listen to, everyone you talk to are talking about, you know, post-Christian, this nation used to be Christian, but now we are a post-Christian America, and they were moving further and further and further from God. But could it just be a setup? Could it be that God has just set things up that people will just get sick and tired of sin and sick and tired of even the religious system of our world and say, I don't want all of this fake. I don't want all of this religion. I want God. I want Jesus. I want a reality. And somehow in the midst of all of this darkness, that God could open doors that we don't even know about. We can't even imagine that He could open for us right here in this country. It's a nation that's becoming anti-Christ, godless. The courts are making many judgments that are anti-God, anti-church, anti-morality. It is a difficult time. But we believe God. We believe God. And we believe the promises of God. Is it possible? These things with men are impossible. But with God, God sets it up in dark times so that we can have a spiritual opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, you're just trying to be optimistic. No, I'm looking at the history of the church. I'm looking at many, many biblical examples that when it gets dark, difficult, backslidden, far from God, and in such spiritual need, God can break on the scene. God can move. And I believe He wants to. The question is, will you and I be a part of it? Are we going to be a part of it? Or are we going to be satisfied with just, well, we had a good service tonight. Wasn't that wonderful? Oh, we had such a good meeting. Good church service. I'm not against good church services. I've already said it a half a dozen times. Thank God for what He has accomplished among us here during these services this week. But it is not the will of God that we soak it all in and we do not understand that revival is for the church to change us, to empower us, so that the light is turned on bright so we can come against the darkness of our world that we live in today. Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, these things are impossible with men. They are possible with God. Amen. Now I need to get back to the text from Joshua chapter 3. I've spent all that time and haven't even looked at Joshua chapter 3. But let's look at it for just a moment. You all know the history of Israel, that they had come up against this very same border close to 40 years before. At that time, their unbelief sent them back into the wilderness to just wander around in the wilderness for all those years, 38 plus years. But they wandered in the wilderness. And now they're coming back up against, back to the border, back to that right there, to the place where they can come up against. Moses is dead. And they are in a 30-day mourning period when you read the previous chapter. 30 days was their custom to mourn over the dead. And after the close of that 30 days, Joshua, who's the new leader, he sends in two spies to go in to spy out Jericho, to plan a strategy for going up against Jericho. And you all know that story. Read it in the previous chapter, chapter 2 of Joshua. But those two spies, they came back and said, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Praise God. Amen. No evil report this time. Let me tell you, it's been 40 years. The giants haven't left. If anything, they've multiplied. The cities are not weaker necessarily. Jericho is still a stronghold. There are still a great walled cities, great forces there. It's just as bad as it was 40 years ago and likely much, much worse.
But these two spies come back and they say, it's ours. We're going to go in. We're going to be able to partake of this. It all had to do with their perspective. It all had to be had to do with their vision and what they believed about the circumstance that they were faced with. The Bible says Joshua rose up early in the morning and came to Jordan, and all the children of Israel, they stopped there. They lodged there for 3 days. After the 3 days, then those spies came back, and they began to send in the spies. Now, this was a time of year when crossing over the Jordan, there's a span of time, probably 5 or 6 weeks, when the Jordan River was only 50 or 60 yards wide and pretty much shallow. They could have easily just walked across it. But God's timing in telling them when to go at the time that he did was at a time when it was the time of harvest, and the warmer weather was coming, and all the snows of Lebanon, the mountain range of Lebanon, were all melting. And so during this time, Jordan was not 50 or 60 yards wide. It was probably three times, maybe even much wider. It was outside of the banks of Jordan. If there was any, you know, from your natural perspective, the best time, this was not the best time to cross Jordan. It's roaring. The waters from the mountain ranges have melted. The snow have melted and the water is roaring. It's outside of its bank. This is not the opportune time. That's what a lot of people are saying about revival. This is what a lot of people are saying about reaching out and the gospel having an impact upon this generation. A lot of people are saying, this is not a good time. People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about the things of God. This is an anti-gospel generation. But no, this is an opportune time. This is a spiritual opportunity that God has given to us. And the Bible says that they commanded, the officers came and they commanded the people and said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Praise God. Now, what was going on? Well, the ark of the Lord was always, the children of Israel had this history with the ark, because the ark was symbolic of the presence of God. Contained inside of the ark was the law of Moses, representing the word of God. Also inside of it was Aaron's rod that had budded out, representing the supernatural power of God. The third item inside of the ark was that little container of manna that had been placed there inside of the ark as a reminder to them that God fed them and provided for them all across their wilderness experience. Those three things are representative of the presence of God, the direction of God, the time that God was saying, whenever he said, when the ark moves, you move. When God moves, then it's time for you to move. Move out. And it represented the will of God, the law of God. It represented the manna, which was the provision of God. It represented the Aaron's rod that had budded out. It represented the supernatural power of God. And so whenever the ark, whenever they said, when the ark moves, you move. Amen. So when we pray, Lord, oh, we want a move of God. I hope that you're also saying, Lord, when you move, I will move. When you move, I will move. Amen. The whole experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost there in the book of Acts, Jesus told them to go there, wait until you're endued with power from on high. Wait there. But don't stay there. Be filled with the Spirit, but don't stay there. The whole book of Acts is the story of the action, the acts of the apostles as they are empowered of the Spirit of God. And they go out, and the whole known world is turned upside down by these commoners, by these fishermen, by these common men who are filled with the Spirit. They were touched by the presence of God, and thus they moved. And that's what the Lord is challenging us to do today. It's a tough time, difficult time. They could have said, well, you know, if we could just wait a few weeks, the Jordan River, it'll kind of all calm down and get back at its banks, and it won't be flowing so swiftly, and it won't be so dangerous. Let's just wait a little while. Do you understand that we don't need to wait? We need to move with God. We need to move with the voice of God. We need to move with the Spirit of God. When God moves on you, when He moves on me, that's when we are to move. That's when spiritual opportunities have come. Amen. And let's not miss out on these wonderful opportunities that He has given to us to make an impact upon our world. The Scripture says that when you step out, He said, make sure that there's a space between you and the ark. Don't get too close to it. Respect it. Honor it. It's the presence of God. It is easy to get a little bit too familiar with the things of God and not have honor and respect for the things of God like we should. But keep it way out front so you can see it. Everyone can see it because it's going somewhere. And we need to go somewhere. We need to move forward. We need to be used of God. And I know we've been hammering this now for some time around here. Our God-given calling to this generation and to our world and to our community. They need Jesus. They need the gospel. There's nothing more that they need. This generation doesn't need more things. It doesn't need more entertainment. It doesn't need anything more of what they have. They need the truth of the gospel. They need Jesus. They need the reality of the brightness of the light of the glory of God shining into their dark world. The Bible says you're to go. Follow the ark. You may not know by the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. I guess what we could say is that really what God wants to do is He wants to lead us into new ventures. New adventures. Amen. Ways that we have not passed before. Things we have not done before. Outreaches that we've never dreamed of before. Opportunities that God gives to us. I tell you, God gives us opportunities if we'll be willing to step in and take hold of it. Amen. One of the most exciting things that I'm involved with right now is this with Brother Bakri and the possibility of a Christian radio station in a Muslim city. I can't imagine, and Brother Bakri is so excited that he can't hardly contain himself because of the circumstances that are there, these masses of people. I said, aren't there like 2 to 3 million? He said, no, it's now upwards of 5 million people that live in that city. People that I've talked to about Sierra Leone, people that know, like Royce Roy, who lived there 20 years. He said, I can't believe that he's got the permission to do this. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that he's got this through their government and through their agencies who are pretty much controlled by Muslim people. How did he ever do it? I said, well, he just started out. He knew he had to have it. He just started and he prayed and he just kept going back and bugging them, knocking on their door and asking them. And it's taken him some time, some years now, 2 years, 2.5 years, but now it's happened. Now we're right on the brink. The money has been raised to get this job done. Praise God. A little over a year ago is impossible. Now the $30,000 for the equipment has been raised. Praise God. It is a miracle. But now we've got a whole new obstacle. Our plan is to go in January, but now Ebola is there. Thousands of people are dying in three of those nations, including Sierra Leone. And I know that Brother Bakri is concerned, and please pray for him as he travels back this coming Saturday. Pray for his wife. Pray for his family. Pray for all those little children in his school and the hundreds of people that are affected there that are just in the Christian community, that whole city. Do you know what? I've been thinking about this the last couple of days. Is it possible that the enemy would want to stop the gospel so bad that he would try to afflict this nation with this Ebola? You say, well, that has nothing to do with what he's trying to accomplish. Well, there's going to be almost 5 million people that are going to be affected by this gospel programming. There's nothing like it there. The only other programming that's there is all Muslim programming, and they will allow you to buy some time to put a religious broadcast on every once in a while, but hardly ever, and it's under the control of their... But to have a station that's 24 hours a day pumping out the gospel of Jesus Christ to 5 million people who are in the darkness of Islam, I think the devil would want to fight that. I believe he would. Amen. Amen. Looks pretty dark right now. Our plan was to go in January, and Floyd Turner said, give us a week there. We'll get that thing up on the air in a week's time. Would you just help me pray against the darkness of the enemy and against Ebola and against all of this that the enemy would want to try to stop? And if it does work that we're going to be able to go, I'm going to get as many churches and Christians together to spend some time fasting and praying before we go in there, because the devil hates it. He hates it. He hates a Holy Ghost invasion. He hates a gospel invasion. And that's exactly what it's going to be by the grace of God. It's a spiritual opportunity. It's an opportunity, much like we have right here in London, Kentucky, Lowell County, southeastern Kentucky, an opportunity to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's step out. Amen. What did he tell them to do? You don't know. You've never been down this path before. So you keep your eyes on the ark. You stay in the presence of God. You follow the will of God. You follow his divine direction. And even though that the banks of the Jordan were overwhelmed and the floods were coming, and the Bible says that when those priests dipped their feet in the brim of that water, it was stopped. And all of those rushing waters that were coming down from the mountains, it was stopped. The Bible says it was walled up. It stopped. And God dried up the land, and those priests walked and stood there in the middle of that Jordan in a dry riverbed. Praise God. Amen. It did not look like an opportunity, but it was the beginning of the vision and the fulfillment of God's plan for them to move in to the promised land and to conquer it and to possess all the wonderful promises that were theirs. Amen. I think that the Lord wants to lead you and me into some new adventures, things we have not done before. Let's keep our eye on the Lord. Let's keep our eye on the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and just see where he might lead us. Hallelujah. Days of spiritual opportunity. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for encouraging times of revival. But Lord, I know that all you have done in our hearts among us this week is for a divine purpose. Oh God, that we will move forward. Lord, that we will touch the lives of people, that we will make an impact upon our world through the power of your Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah.